And a good Friday morning. Welcome into In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and it's the final Friday of the month, which means it's time to talk with the Riley County Police Department. And joining us today is Captain Josh Kyle. Good morning, Captain Kyle.
Good morning. How are you doing? Hope you're doing well, and you and yours, and everybody out there listening.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. The weather's changing, and I really like this time of year because it's normally cooling off. It's easier to go out on walks at night and really enjoy that weather. But boy, it's going to be in the 90s today, so I don't know.
Yeah, if you're going to get some exercise in, you probably want to do it early.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, lots going on right now, and I guess we'll just kind of start off. There was a press release issued last night here by the police department, and it has to do with what's going on in the news with coronavirus. And found out this week that an employee at RCPD tested positive, the first one here for COVID-19. And this will kind of show, how you guys plan to report information like that in the future.
Right. Yeah, it was unfortunate. We were able to, with being a public service agency, we're always concerned about the virus and checking on our personnel. And as we were talking earlier, we've been able to avoid an active case for quite some time now, but it's happened. And so we put out a press release about it. And now, rather than putting out press releases every time if there's another case within the police department, we decided to report kind of like what the health department does with past cases that have recovered and current active cases, and just report in that manner on a daily basis with our normal police blotter information.
All right. So that mostly just be statistics then, and that's obviously to protect the privacy of individuals.
Yeah, we know that this is a subject of public concern. But at the same time, in public interest, but at the same time, we want to protect the privacy of our employees. The biggest thing that we are making certain of is if there's been any close contacts with the public. And of course, as we indicated in our press release the other day, the employee in question did not have close contact with the public. So we feel very comfortable with that. But we know we want to do our due diligence and inform the public of where we're at as an organization, since we are a first responder organization. So we'll keep the public updated as far as where we're at with numbers.
You know, in a job like policing, as it is with other emergency services, fire, EMS, you got to interact with people from the public all the time. What challenges has that posed here in the last few months for you guys?
There's several challenges. Probably the biggest one right out of the gate is mask wear. You know, it's a controversial issue anyway. The enforcement of masks is also a controversial issue that we've been working through. But we get asked a lot, you know, I saw an officer the other day and he or she wasn't wearing a mask. Why is that? And the answer is there's several answers. First off, you know, it's difficult to communicate. Our job is very communication intense, and it's hard to talk to somebody and convey the message that you want to convey when you have a mask on. It's almost kind of like sending emails. You know, you don't get the inflection and tone that you do when you talk to somebody. And so it's easy to send a message that you meant one thing, but they read it some way different. And it's true also when you're talking about masks. We try to make connections with people, especially in intense situations where we show what our intent is, that we're there to help. And having a mask on really interrupts that. It dehumanizes us. And it's easier to think that the person behind the mask is not there to help. And the other issue, it gets to be kind of an officer safety issue sometimes as well. I don't know about you, but my eyes aren't what they used to be, so I have to wear glasses. And every time it seems like I have my glasses on and a mask on, they start fogging up. And that can be a real hazard when you're working the street.
Yeah, no question about it. I know all about that here over the last few months, especially. And of course, you're in the position as the police department enforcing the mask ordinance, so you know, I guess maybe there's a little bit of a catch-22 there. So if you're enforcing it, you should also be wearing it, right?
Yeah. We rely heavily on officer discretion in a number of areas, to include mask enforcement, and so we also have to rely on officers to make reasonable decisions when it comes to mask wear. And so we understand that the public perception that, hey, you're there to enforce the mask ordinance, and yet at the same time your mask wear is inconsistent. But again, based on the factors I talked about before, We have to communicate with the public. We have to be able to show our intent and make those connections, especially in high stress situations. And we also got some safety concerns on our end. So we rely on our officers heavily to make the right decisions for the right reasons when they're out in the field. I know the other day I was driving by a traffic stop and the officer had a mask on. I also have seen some videos recently of officers that didn't have their mask on. And it's just, it's all contextual and it's all based on what the officers are trying to do at the time and the safety issues they're dealing with.
Well, I know about a month ago, we were hearing a lot of chatter about crowd gatherings in Aggieville and mask violations happening down there. Seems like it's calmed down for the most part. We haven't heard a lot out there. What's your take on that?
The big issue we're dealing with right now is that with the drinking establishments closing at about midnight, the house parties are picking up. And we haven't seen house parties with 100, 150, 200 people in quite a while, at least not on a regular basis. And that's really starting to catch on and really starting to become an issue. And so I think that's going to be a big thing that we're going to have to address moving forward. We've had some conversations internally about that. Usually these house parties, there's other violations besides masks. And so one thing that we've discussed is what we've always done in the past is make certain that there's not minors in consumption and noise complaints or noise violations, those kinds of things. So you're looking at a combination of factors at a party like that. There's a number of ways of dealing with it. And more than likely, what we're going to do is address these large parties like we always have and deal with the typical violations that you see with a party of that size, involving alcohol and the urination in public and the other things that we see as well.
You know, it's interesting when you bring up house parties, and I know the health department has protocols for large gatherings right now. You have to apply for permits for that. Would that apply to those as well?
Well, you know, something applying and then the actual compliance are two different things. You know, it's one thing for a nonprofit organization, or well, we're a good example. We've got an event coming up in the near future that's going to potentially involve over 50 people. We're going to be very responsible about that. We've applied for that permit or received that permit. We're also going to take a lot of precautions to make certain that we have, we're actually going to deliver food, but we're going to do it in a contactless or as little contact as possible fashion. Well, that kind of responsibility isn't necessarily something you're going to see after midnight at a house party. And so, of course, you've automatically got the situation where there's a potential for a violation of that gathering ordinance in and of itself. Again, which is better? Do you want to go in and then try to force a 50-person rule? Well, first off, that's something that's up to the health department. That's a whole other matter. The one violation that we would have is the mask issue. So we could certainly be a reporting vehicle, but I don't know that the mass gathering enforcing, first off, I don't think we can enforce that. But also, or should enforce that, but also, I don't know that that's really the way to address a large gathering like that. Again, typically with a late night house party, there's going to be a lot of other issues going on that we're more used to dealing with and we feel more comfortable addressing just outside of the mass gathering / mask issues.
Right. We're speaking with Captain Josh Kyle here, Riley County Police Department, and of course, I think the message continues to be from everybody here, just a continued, let's keep going here, wear the masks, socially distance, and be responsible here, especially with the college students here in town.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a college town. K-State's our largest employer. We've all had to go through a lot of, I would say a lot of decisions, a lot of difficult decisions have been made about how to handle college in a college town. And we're all depending upon each other to do the right things for the right reasons.
Very good. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We'll come back and continue our conversation here. It's Riley County Police Department Day on In Focus. We'll continue with Captain Josh Kyle after the break.